The Open Championship this year is being held at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland.
Look at that. Good heavens. If you farted on the downswing, you'd fly over the hedge.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Open Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
It's not my fault nobody can understand what you're saying.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Thank you to everybody that tunes in on the YouTube, catches shows late, goes back and watches, whatever it takes. We appreciate all the love on YouTube. I am aiming effortlessly behind the scenes. You ever say a word and you say it right, but you're nervous you're not going to say it right, and you
all
say it right?
Philanthropic, all the time.
Philanthropic?
Yeah. What did I say in the promo? What word do I use? Isn't that what I say?
Oh, yes, you say philanthropic. Yeah. You were trying to say philanthropic.
Yes. So, yeah, constantly I'm worried I'm saying the word wrong.
I just did that, and I patted myself on the back, yes, you got through that word.
Yes.
But I've been trying to really get more guests for us, because we like to have guests in the morning. It's fun to kind of shoot the S with people on the YouTube.
Mm.
But right now we have a weird YouTube setup. Without going into too much detail, where they have to be on YouTube, but they're still on the phone.
Yeah, it's a weird phone video thing that doesn't really compute.
So I'm trying to, I wanted both of our guests today to be on YouTube, but then I'm like, Swag's got to deal with this, and he's got to deal with that.
I want to see what Casey Holdall looks like at 8 a.m. in Vegas. You think he had fun last night? Or at this point in Vegas, are you just like, I'm going to my room?
Dude, I think when you're in Vegas for more than 2 days, you're over Vegas. Yes.
Or do you, pace yourself?
Work.
Do you get there and start with work, and then there's a little lull in the action? They didn't have a game yesterday, because they had games Friday, Saturday, so I'm assuming he got in, Thursday?
I'm wondering if he got down early, you go down Tuesday.
When did the team go down? Because he went on that flight.
It was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
So he was on that flight.
So they had a couple of days before the first
game. I'm wondering if you go, all right, I'm going to do my Vegas beforehand. We're not playing our first game till late Friday night.
Yeah, get my Vegas on for 2 days.
Well, I'll tell you this much right now. I just watched a movie. And there was a scene inside of the nightclub at Caesars that you and I went to.
Yeah.
And I just saw that scene, and I remember thinking to myself watching it, I want nothing to do with this.
You don't want to do that again?
It was the F1 movie with Brad Pitt.
Is that what it was?
All the race car drivers go because they're racing in Vegas, and the one of the main characters goes, and he just basically takes one drink. And he goes, I'm getting out of here. And I remember thinking, I wouldn't even have gone in there.
Nah, I'm done.
Nothing to do with that. I'm not a Vegas guy.
See, here's the thing. I feel like as you get older, Vegas changes. I do think there are things to do in Vegas.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
When you get older, for me, a Vegas trip would be, I'm going to sit around the pool in the heat because I enjoy being in heat. You lay there, you get some sun, you jump in the pool, sports book pool, you go there, and you're playing golf. That's what Vegas turns into. With nice
and
places.
And maybe hit a table or two.
Hit a table or two.
Okay.
You got some nice places to eat dinner,
really,
and then go
nice
to a show at night. That's what Vegas
sports
is.
Sports book. Maybe a concert or an event.
Yeah, you go to, exactly. Meringue was at the Backstreet Boys concert. Go see that at
the
Sphere.
He told me the Sphere was unbelievable. Right? And I go, you gotta give it to Dolan for building that thing. He goes, I know.
That's pretty badass, man. Of all the things that you could see there, though, Backstreet Boys, I'm not opposed to. The nostalgia's there, and I would go to that concert. But I want to see something trippier if I go to the Sphere.
Oh, see, I think if I'm in Vegas and somebody goes, hey, there's a show tonight and it's affordable, I actually think I don't want to go to a dead show.
You don't want to go that way?
I'm terrified somebody's going to give me acid somehow.
You want some mushrooms and just go out fun? What happened to Sprague? You're floating through the roof, man.
I'll be in the fetal position. Help me. Help me. I'm in a universe. I'm in a different galaxy.
Ah, man, you're just strumming along the guitar. You're feeling good. Vibes are great.
Yeah.
I see
Bill Walton in the back here.
Yes, throw it down, big
throw
man.
Throw it down, Brandon.
Your point about Vegas
throw it down, Bill.
Sounds horrible, and I agree with you completely. A nightclub with bottles, no, thank you. I have nothing to do with that. But there's things that you can do. That's the beauty of Vegas, is that it applies to different ages. And your trip to Vegas can evolve as you get older.
I feel like most people that are lame know they're lame. And I'm telling you 100%, hand up, I'm lame.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun in my life, and I'm just, I I'm good now.
Yeah, but I was even lamer than you lived.
You've been lame for a while.
I've been lame a long, like since you met me, I've been lame.
You had a kid, right, when I met you. That kind of coincides with the two things.
Yeah, but I was a pretty young age. I shouldn't have been lame, but I was kind of lame.
Your fun days were cut short, but you're going to get the back end of it. You're going to be that weird guy who's into like sex parties and stuff when he's 52 because your kids are out of the house and I'm still going to be in the grind.
Me and Dirt went to Vegas together and I famously left that nightclub. We had a booth right behind the DJ. It was like VIP. I left that booth.
You did.
And I told them it was because I went back to find... I just left because I didn't want to be there. And then I was like, I should probably go back. They paid for this booth. I feel bad. So I left for like a half hour. And I'm
that was still in my glory days. I was having a great time.
But it's on somebody else's dime. Like, that's where you throw the shade. Like, if you don't want to be there, that's where you throw some shades on, though, in the nightclub.
But I just
Vegas.
Hate the nightclub vibe. You can't hear anybody.
I know.
Even at a bar on but Saturday.
I'm just, at that point, I'm just going to take in the scene.
Yo, that's what I do.
Because you know you're probably not going to be in that particular scenario anytime
People
soon.
Think
yeah, that's my thought.
When I go to bars now, which doesn't happen often at night on a Friday or Saturday, people think I'm angry. I literally just can't hear people talking.
You just want to go home.
So I'm kind of sitting there just people watching, and then it's like... What? What?
This is your new political platform. The bars are too damn loud.
They kind of are.
Turn the music down. I can't hear anything.
These cans have just killed my hearing. It's kind of a sneaky good thing, but it's going to be a bad thing at some point in my life.
Yeah.
I walk past that Costco exit when I'm leaving, and I see the old in the office by himself. And I go, that's going to be me checking out the new Hear Aid 3005.
At the ripe old age of 47, getting your hearing aids at Costco. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to Costco. My hearing aids
I'm not there yet, and I've been doing this for a while, and I played in the band growing up with a trumpet section right behind me.
That's true, yeah.
So, you also still think you could stay up till 3 a.m. drink and come in and do a 6 a.m. show, and you fall asleep on a wall. So, God bless you. You're not as lame as me. No, I give you that.
No, he's got a cool gene to him.
We have a lot to get to.
I am going to the Barry Manilow concert Wednesday
night. Well, so. You know, there's that.
You be careful.
Barry Manilow still out there going,
still
huh?
Still out there.
Barry Manilow's still ticking.
No.
Those ladies bite. You better be careful.
That was that was the missus with some her theater friends, and it's like, nope, they're in for Barry. I was like, yeah, so we got floor seats.
There's floor seats for Barry Manilow?
Yeah, it's a plain Moda.
Damn right, there's floor seats.
Do you get out of your
Barry
seats
Manilow?
For Barry Manilow? I don't know how a Barry Manilow concert is.
Oh, it takes
is.
A little longer. It's a process.
There's a lot of cracking going on, the knees.
As a dancing? Do people sway? Like, how do we...
You kind of sway,
A bit of a sway, a little bob back and forth.
I'll see what happens when he starts playing Copa, and so we'll...
He's 82 years old.
I know.
Bless him. 82 years old.
A lot of work been done.
So much work been done.
Voice is still rock solid, though.
Yeah, he can still sing.
There's a guy that sings the primetime jingle. I forget his name.
The primetime jingle?
Yeah, the club.
Oh, at the club.
Yeah.
Starlight?
Yeah. I just, sadly, he has taken that anthem from me, from Barry Manilow.
No, that actually was not Tony Starlight. It was a production.
Well, that person has taken that song from
Starlight.
Barry Manilow in my mind.
Hmm.
And now I hear that song instead of the real version.
Yeah.
We have a lot to get to. We will move on from our old man shenanigans of no nightclubs and Barry Manilow concerts. Boy, we're hitting a demographic perfectly.
That's right.
We opened with tennis and golf today, and now we're talking Barry Manilow concerts.
You're welcome, brand man.
Sweet spot. I think they say 25-54 is what you want. We might be hedging a little bit older
53,
than that right now.
So I'm 53, so
you're still in the sweet spot.
Still in the sweet spot.
We're still trying to get the swags out there.
Don't do a show for your brother.
No, in 2 years, though, you're out. We don't care about you anymore.
Is Nick Saban coming back to coach college football?
Ooh,
oh, my God.
The SEC media
You sent
days.
Me this, and I went and researched, and I was like, no.
Yep, here we go.
SEC media days.
Here we go. Lane Kiffin was pretty funny. He was trolling about this yesterday. He was trolling about a lot of stuff. He went on Feinbaum and had a hilarious interview for like 8 minutes.
Well,
this was one of the things. He was like, dude, it's kind of boring without Saban around here, so I'm going to go ahead and throw some gas on this fire. We need him back.
Can I play? So I got a cut of Lane Kiffin. We'll get to the Saban stuff in a second here. I want to play this Lane Kiffin cut because you brought up yesterday Hugh Freeze is golfing in his spare time. He's not coaching. He's golfing.
He's not winning a lot of games, and people at Auburn are not happy with how often he is playing golf.
Let me catch any listener that missed the show and swag up real quick. So reportedly Hugh Freeze, he sucks, right? He's not been good at Auburn.
Yes.
There is growing animosity within the Auburn collectives that Hugh Freeze is golfing and not caring about coaching. His buyout's $20 million. He doesn't have a financial reason to care. He basically refuted this and said, that's not true. I mean, if practice is done at 3, I'm at practice. But if I have a 4 o'clock tee time, I'm there too.
If me and Jenny want to go play at 4:30, we're going to play at 4:30.
So he tried to refute it, but also kind of confirmed you're just golfing in all of your spare time. Lane Kiffin went back and found an old clip of Hugh Freeze at a golf tournament and trolled him. He's famously a great troll on social media. But what Lane does very well is, in public, he acts like he doesn't know what trolling is.
He does the rope-a-dope. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. Me? I would never.
By the way, you ever seen the video of Lane Kiffin being shown a newborn baby by his daughter, and he didn't know he's being recorded, and he makes the grossest face of all time?
Isn't that cute?
He's like, what is that?
She's like,
it's a baby. He's like, oh, God. Lane Kiffin forever. Lane Kiffin was asked at his opening remarks about his Hugh Freeze golf tweet. And I want to ask you, are you buying Lane Kiffin's answer here?
I like Coach Freeze. So I think they think that was something to do with, like, I was fishing, it was golfing. That really wasn't that. I have a thing with him going back a few years ago when he, like, posted a picture, like, in response to me of, like, some 2-pound bass or something like that. So I've kind of always posted bigger fish pictures back towards him. So that had nothing to do with his golf game, which sounds like he's doing amazing at that. So that's great for him.
It's so good, dude.
This guy is going from villain to like...
Not many people have taken a better opposite heel turn than Lane Kiffin.
Because
he was despised.
Yeah.
He was the Nepo hire football coach.
Right. Taking the 76-yard field goal attempt.
The Raiders. And when he was like, 27 years old, the head coach of the Raiders. Bounces from Tennessee.
Fired
goes to USC. Fired on the tarmac. Like, rebuilds his legacy at Alabama. He has gone full circle. And I think part of it is the place he's at. Part of it is he's now established himself as a good coach.
Did you hear him talk about Oxford, by the way?
Yeah, dude. He loves it there. He had no plans on leaving. And he was a guy who always had an itch. Every 2 years, you're like, where's Lane Kiffin going to leave for? Everybody thought he was going to leave Ole Miss at some point. Mm-hmm. He's been rumored for different jobs every offseason, and he's remained loyal. And I think that's part of it as well. And also, there's just an aspect of that job. It's such a high-pressure gig. They could get fired at any moment, which, like, you know, cry me a river. You got a $20 million buyout waiting for you. You'll be fine in life. But it's such a high-wire act to try and survive in that landscape that somebody who was able to find the humor in it and able to laugh at themselves and laugh at others is somebody who will always get my support, and that's what Kiffin's doing.
So Lane Kiffin, SEC Media Days, trolling back to Hugh Freeze, but says, I'm not trolling. We're friends.
I heard his golf game's great. It's awesome for him, man.
Good for him.
His handicap's really low.
Can't wait to whoop his ass this year when we play.
It's going to be so
good. By the way, his quarterback, I went and read some stuff because I was curious because I saw him talk.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn things about teams.
Yes.
It's magazine season.
It's that time of year, man.
His quarterback got a little dual athlete situation.
He absolutely does.
And that quarterback seems really exciting to watch in that system.
That's the interesting thing about, and that's almost a larger thing that we've kind of touched on, but not fully in the world of college football, is this. There's not a lot of returning stars at that position.
That's
what makes it exciting.
So big,
like, Arch Manning's the biggest name in the sport. He's played a total of, 4 games in his career?
He's not been a full-time starter.
But he's never been a full-time starter. So outside of Nussmeier, man, like, there is...
Aller, Nussmeier, yes. Like, it's just... After that, it starts to kind of look around, and it's like, you know...
There's a lot of, can this guy pan out? Will this guy be the real deal? Can this guy carry this team?
It makes Levitt and Klubnik. That's why you think maybe they can do it, you know? It's...
And Ole Miss is in that category of, can one of their young guys who wins that job take over and run with it?
We asked Ciancia yesterday, because we had him on a Pick Six Previews, about what did he say, 10 to 15 teams he thought could win the title. I don't know if I buy that many, but
yeah,
he put a pretty big number out, and we talked about how it feels as open as it maybe has been in a long time in our lives. I just don't know how we don't say this parity exists in that sport unless you have the portal and the NIL.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it, for sure.
Like, come on, like, how did we get to this point? Like, it's not just... And we'll talk Nick Saban on the other side. It's not that just Nick Saban's not in the sport. I mean, Kirby's you know, just as, not just as great as Saban, but he's a great right. coach in his own right.
Won back-to-back national championships.
And it's tough for him.
Yep.
And he's not even going in as the favorite this year.
He's got Gunnar Stockton at quarterback. That's who he's going with because his quarterback transferred out of Georgia to Miami.
You know, it's frustrating. It's confusing. There's a lot of stuff I don't care about around the sport, but the things that I do care about is a result of some of that stuff that we hate talking
yes.
about.
Sometimes the process of it can be ugly, but the end result can be good for the sport.
And so I asked this question, is Nick Saban coming back to the beloved sport of college football? Has he got that itch the way Pete Carroll and Belichick still do? There's somebody in the college football world that asked that question. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. We'll talk with Andy Bunker of 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta coming up at the bottom of the hour. That is the number one show host in Atlanta.
The ATL show today.
Him and Randy McMichael officially yesterday, and we'll have to introduce him as this.
Yes, number one.
Number one of all the shows, all the radios.
All of the Atlantas.
You know, the hip-hops and the Dirty South yeah. country music and
that.
The sportses, and no. they're number one.
They are number one, and I'm going to make fun of his Huskies in the interview as well. I can't wait to have him on.
He goes, it's the dumbest thing we do in this industry is the ratings thing, but man, that bonus check hits nice.
It's great when you get it, dude. Nobody's complaining about the system when it works in your favor.
Exactly.
Jordan Rogers, famously Aaron's brother.
What's he up to these days?
He works for the SEC Network.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's one of the lead analysts.
I forgot about that.
Oh, he's good looking.
He is a good looking cap.
He's not crazy.
Where did he play college ball?
Vandy?
Was he a Vandy guy?
I don't know why I have him as Vandy.
That sounds right.
He said Arch, he basically did the, not Oppo of Feinbaum, but he was like, Arch is fifth best in this conference.
we need
to pump the brakes
way.
A little bit here, man.
You go opposite. Yeah, he did. He was 2-year starter at Vanderbilt. 15 touchdowns, 5 picks in year 2. That's good enough to get an SEC Network job, huh?
I mean, he was a starting quarterback in the SEC.
I mean, okay. How many games did he win?
You think you should have your job because you took Cleveland High School to the playoffs?
Well, it applies. I'm talking PIL football day in and day out, dude. We're breaking down Benson next. What's yeah. Grant up to in the offseason?
Is Benson back?
I don't know. Do they still have a football team?
I thought Benson, they were bringing the program
I thought
back.
Yeah, I thought they're bringing
read
him back.
That correctly.
The Benson. Tech men are coming back. Nick Crawford's coming for you, baby.
Benson took Nelson's best girls basketball player.
Are we the PIL stealing players away?
Well, her aunt is the coach.
Is it the opposite now? We used to lose everybody to Central Catholic and Jesuit. Oh, they used to leave the PIL. Now they want to come back to the inner city. Bring it on home, baby.
Park Rose ever got sniff at talent, Central would be like, hey, you want a scholarship? You love Jesus?
We're rebuilding all our high schools. We're no longer rundown facilities, man. We're coming for you. Cleveland's getting a new school, dude.
Oh, touche.
I voted on that bad boy.
Did you?
Right in time. I moved into my house. It was the first bond that was on the ballot.
Can't wait for you to complain about your taxes in 3 years.
I mean, I will definitely do it, but if I'm paying a lot
my
in taxes.
My roads aren't even paid.
Was your vote contingent on retiring your jersey there?
It was, yeah. I tried to bribe him. I said, you want my yes vote? You might give me something. Give me a little pork out of this bill.
So yesterday, Greg McElroy on his radio show, Jocks 94.5. It's a pretty popular radio station down there.
They beat us in the rankings every year. This show, they're a mid-market morning show, him and Cole Kublik.
They get like 40 shares because they're like, coming up next.
It's in Birmingham,
is
Alabama.
Alabama's offensive line depth up to par.
I actually do really like Cole Kublik.
It's a good show.
Not
I
a
don't
huge Greg McElroy
lot,
guy, but I'm a big Cole Kublik guy.
I like the show. Yeah. Here was McElroy asking Feinbaum, is Saban done?
But the question was asked of me. It's kind of a little bit out of left field as well. Very much in the know person that I have a lot of respect for and have spent a lot of time around and just really, really admire. They seem to think Nick Saban's not done coaching. I had a similar reaction, but he's pretty adamant that he thinks Nick Saban will be coaching again. Do you buy that?
No.
That's what I said.
And Greg, you know Nick Saban better than I do, but I ran into somebody the other day who spends time with Saban in Florida, and you can imagine where, and said that he is literally having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't he? And I feel like I'm much closer to Nick Saban's age than you are, and I can assure you when you have everything you want and you start playing golf at the best golf clubs in America and you start making friends who belong to even better golf clubs, and you make a lot of money for doing very little work on TV, the interest in doing what he walked away from is not very high. I mean, he had a better situation at Alabama the day he left than he'll have anywhere he goes, let's say it's next year.
Yeah, well, Fine Mom don't got that dog in him, so he don't know. do you think we'll see Saban again? So, I saw a quote yesterday from Brian Kelly Dirt, and it Brian Kelly, we would push for as many teams as possible for the playoff if they were evaluated by what their schedules look like.
That's
when we talk about win-loss record, they're not all the same based on what conference you play in.
That's right. Strength of schedule, baby.
Yeah. Okay, Brian Kelly.
Play 9 conference games and we'll talk.
Oh, they're not going to do it. They all basically came out yesterday and was like, anybody would sign up for 9 in their conference if they saw the 8 in ours. I'm like, you guys were 1-5 against the Big Ten last year. Smelling your own fart.
Yeah,
they like smelling their own farts down there. There's no doubt about it. The scheduling argument is one that will never go away. To the Saban point, like I thought it was interesting that somebody who played for him, who clearly is in the know, said like he's not just going to run with this. This isn't what Greg McElroy is known for, of just like spouting out things
to go
viral.
He's
not a hot take guy. And so he added to it a little bit too. He's like, man, I wouldn't say this unless somebody told me this, that I truly was like, are you kidding me? Like, really? So clearly somebody who was connected to Saban, and I would imagine Greg McElroy is more connected to Nick Saban than Paul Feinbaum is because of his playing career, and he was his quarterback, won a national championship with him. My interesting question was, if it is true, what does it look like? Like, does that look like truly running a program again, like taking over a big time college job?
Well, he's not doing that unless he has that power.
That's what I didn't know. Is it just a passion for coaching? Does it look like, hey, I'm going to go be a D coordinator in the NFL somewhere, or I'm going to be a high school? Probably not, but like, just I want to be around football. I want to coach football. Like Belichick did this. If I would have told you 2 years ago when Belichick was out that he's going to take the job at North Carolina, I don't know about you, but if you would have told me that, I would have probably laughed at you. Like, what? Bill Belichick's going to go coach college football at North Carolina? Yeah, there's no chance in hell that's going to happen. Clearly, the itch was still there. He missed football after being away for a year. He was good at the media stuff, and that's all it took for him to walk back into it. So I would bet no, but my first thought was, I wonder if it was a yes, what does that pathway look like for him?
I want to go to Bunker. I'll give you my thought on it. Like, he's going to do what he wants to do. He can get any job in America. I kind of hope he stays away. I think the sport is actually in a great spot with the coaches currently in the sport. Like, you can only rely on Saban for so long. And if he stays on television, he'll be around for a while, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the actual coaches in the sport, it's great right now. You got Day can't beat Michigan, but he wins the title. You got Lane trolling people. You got Lanning, who's pretty personable and out there. Like, Kirby Smart is not afraid to speak his mind. We know Dabo sounds off.
Sark's been around a long time.
Dillingham is a kind of refreshing younger guy with Freeman at Notre Dame. Like, I think the sport's in a great spot, and I think it's kind of perfect as it is. And I look, again, if he wants to coach, he's going to coach. But I don't – the sport doesn't need him anymore.
No,
it doesn't
need
him as a coach, at least. Having him as, like, a media member, that's different. That's fine. That's good. I like that it's kind of moving into a new wave of guys are becoming comfortable in their own skin and having their own voice and sharing what they think about the sport. Franklin is another one of these at Penn State. Like, I think it's in a great spot. So personally, like, he's the GOAT in that sport. I think he's good on game day for what he is. Indiana, with Alabama Jones.
Alabama Jones hanging out at Notre Dame.
But I kind of don't want him back as a coach because I like the new crop of coaches mixed with some of the guys who are around at the end of his tenure as well.
Yeah. I think the other part of it, too, is, and this might seem crazy to some, there's no guarantee that, I mean, he's going to be 75 in October.
I know, but Carroll and Belichick are the same age and they're
I mean, do you think
coaching.
Belichick still has it?
I don't
know. Do you think Pete Carroll still has it? We'll find out when the NFL season starts.
I think Pete can get the Raiders back to what the Raiders kind of want to be, and that's somewhat respectable, organized, build the culture, hand it to the next guy.
And maybe it works out for him. He goes to a place that, if it happened, where he could spend a lot of money, but also the landscape of the sport is entirely different. Are people just going to go?
Is it really that different for him? He was gone he's only been gone 2 years.
Well, right? Sure. I'm just saying in terms of recruiting and paying players, like that's now a level playing field. So will he have that leverage over everybody at whatever job that he takes? Like that's not even a guaranteed thing. If he goes back to coaching, I hope it's like go coach high school football somewhere. Go back to your hometown and coach high school football.
Good luck to those high school
kids. How cool would that be? Just him yelling at some 17-year-old?
Let's go to Atlanta. The All-Star game is tonight. Home Run Derby was won by a Seattle guy. Let's talk to a Seattle guy who's hosting a show in Atlanta. Andy Bunker, 92.9 The Game, joins us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
Try that. Pelican Brewing presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. Joining us now, tonight is the MLB All-Star Game in the city of Atlanta, ATL Shorty. And there's only one person you can talk to when you're going to Atlanta. That is the number one radio host in the city of Atlanta.
For the spring quarter.
They call him number one
down
there.
Men 2554.
He is the number one guy.
And by the way, I think it's Shorty.
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 I'm not saying it right.
You got to say Shorty.
Is my pronunciation too white? Is that what you're telling me?
It's too white, too north.
Shorty. Is that better?
No, that was even worse.
Andy Bunker, TBM 929, 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. Bunker, first off, congratulations and good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. You guys both sound terrible saying Shorty, but so do I, which is why I try not to say it. But good to hear from you guys.
It's good to hear from you, too. Braves obviously not having a good year this year. Brandon's a big Braves fan, so I like giving a hard time about that. They didn't win a game till like June this season. But what's been the atmosphere and the energy like in the city? I did have a critique. It felt like all the seats behind home plate by the end of the Home Run Derby were empty. I don't know if those are like corporate giveaways. Outfield was still full. What's the vibe like going into All-Star game considering the season the Braves have had?
Well, I think there's sort of two vibes. I mean, the vibe around the Braves is awful. They're bad, and a lot of guys are hurt, and they were supposed to be really good this year, so it's really disappointing. And it's also the first time they've been not good when they've been supposed to be good in a really long time. There was a couple down years about 10 years ago, but that was sort of a reset. Everyone kind of knew what the deal was. They've been good since they hit that reset button, and this year has come as a big shock to folks. So the vibe around the Braves is not good. The vibe around the city, because of the All-Star game, is great. And we're here at the Fan Village right now broadcasting yesterday, Sunday, and today, and it's awesome. I mean, there's fans from all over. You've seen jerseys from, you know, every different major league team you can think of. And last night was – I think the people behind home plate probably left because Matt Olson was out. And the Home Run Derby took 3 hours last night. It was 97 degrees outside, but it was still fun. It was really cool to see Cal Raleigh win the thing too.
Yeah, I thought I thought Olson's home run performance kind of summed up the Braves' first half in general. It's like, not gonna do it there. Look, I said earlier because Cal Raleigh won it, and it was fun to watch him do that. He had a great first. I think he's kind of the story of the first half in baseball in general because of what he had with the homers, but. Kind of feels like, you know, you're number one down there. Cal Raleigh right now, the leading MVP vote getter, the Home Run Derby champ. Damon Williams didn't transfer out the way other quarterbacks do. Kind of Seattle having a moment right now, right?
Yeah, no, we're, you know, you'd be surprised, all the little connections between, obviously, Penix is about to be the starting quarterback for the Falcons. So, yeah, there's a, I have, people always get really annoyed. They're like, can you make everything about UW? Like, how is it possible that you make every sports story about Seattle or about the University of Washington? I said, I have a unique talent to do that. So that's what you brought me here to do, and so that's what I do.
How worried are you about that beatdown that's coming on November 29th?
Well, I just hope you guys – I hope I handle being number one better than you guys did last year, you know?
Well played. Well played. That was an A-plus response.
Hopefully you enjoyed Dan Lanning while he laughed.
Bunker, were you actually at the Home Run Derby last night? And if you were, was that your first Home Run Derby you've been to? Did you go to the 01 All-Star festivities at Safeco?
I was not. I was at a gas station parking lot doing an appearance. So, you know, you gotta,
when you're number one, when you're number one, you gotta go to an AMP.
I was at a gas station, where I could see the stadium. Oh. But no, I was not in the building. And I also did not go to the Home Run Derby in 01. I was probably about as close to the Home Run Derby in 01 as I was last night, but. No, I was helping people pump their gas at a racetrack right up the road from the stadium.
That's fantastic.
Fun promotion you got involved in.
Yeah, fun radio promotion. You guys know all about that.
We get creative in this industry. Andy Bunker's our guest. TBM929 on Twitter. We'll give him a follow there. Host down in Atlanta at 92.9. The game, they're hosting the All-Star game tonight, Home Run Derby. Last night, you did mention Penix there. I want to ask, I'm just curious. I mean, there's obviously Northwest ties for our listeners. Beaten Oregon twice. The season he had at Washington. Coming in late in the year, just like a small three times. Thank you for that reminder. small sample size last year. What are realistic expectations? Because that's a talented team. There seemed to be enough around him, other than Kyle Pitts, who I just can't quite compute why he's so bad in the NFL. What are the expectations for him this year as his first full year as a starter?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I like that you said realistic expectations too, because I think realistically, you can expect him to be good, but there's going to be up and downs. You know, I mean, he's essentially going to be a rookie quarterback, and as talented as he is, and the fact that he got his feet wet a little bit last year at the end of the year, just, you know, you have to expect there to be some hiccups for a guy who's starting in the NFL for his first time. Expectations around here, it feels like it's gone from, okay, this is exciting. All right, this guy's got a fun arm. We got to see him at the end of the year last year, but then like all the vitriol towards Kirk Cousins with the way that it went down, and then the quarterback show coming out last week. So like everyone's mad again about that. Like it feels like that's all kind of feeding into the Penix hype in a way that it's fun, but it's almost a little bit like, ah, man, pump the brakes. Like I think he's going to be good, and I think he's going to be the quarterback of the Falcons for, you know, a decade plus, hopefully, but I think next year will be good, but there's going to be some bad moments because he's a rookie. He'll be a rookie. So that's where I'm at with it. You know, people are just so hungry for the Falcons to be anything that the expectations are always going to be ramped up.
Now, my Pacific Northwest vibe could be off here, but Kyle Pitts reminds me of fill-in-the-blank trailblazer that doesn't really produce, but every fan is terrified to trade him away because then he'll realize his potential. Do I have this correct? It feels like he's been nothing but kind of disappointing. But also, they haven't traded him yet. So, like, is that out of fear that he's going to pop and become Travis Kelce at fill-in-the-blank team?
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of layers to it. Like, he did have a really good rookie year when Matt Ryan was still here. He had over 1,000 yards his rookie year. And then he's kind of been banged up a little bit. And then, obviously, he's just underperformed. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he also played 2 years with you know, Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota as his quarterback. So, like, he didn't really have a great shot. Another shot there at Oregon. Thank you.
How dare you? How dare you speak ill upon the GOAT, okay? That's a bridge too far.
Trust me. At Oregon, he was insanely talented and amazing. In the NFL, obviously, it's a different story. But so that's kind of part of it, too. And then the other layer is, you know, the general manager who's on the hot seat. That was his first pick. That fourth overall, now 5 drafts ago. So, like, he's got a little skin in the game as far as him being successful, too. Like, if he gives up on Pitts and the season doesn't go well, that he's signing his death certificate. Like, it's over. So he's got to hope that he pops this year. And now they're in the weird spot of, like, if he does, say he has a really good year this year in his contract season, do you pay him? Like, tight ends make a lot of money when they're producing. So, you know, that's a problem they hope to have, I guess, next offseason. But yeah, it's tough. It's a really bad situation, or at least it has been for the first 4 years. And I think the Blazer, like, underperforming high draft pick, slight injury stuff, I think that's a pretty good comparison.
Your co-host uniquely qualified to give thoughts on this because he played the position at a pretty good level in the NFL. Is he in or out on Pitts? Where's he at on him?
he's tries to be as friendly and patient as possible because he sees the talent, and you don't want to just crap on a guy. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of moments where Randy's just kind of like, all right, man, like, you got to show a little bit more heart out there. You know,
let's run a little bit harder.
You got all the tools in the world to to be playing like that. So, no, I mean, he's probably going to be the last one to give up on him because he knows what he's capable of. Mm. But, yeah, the frustration in the eyes of Randy on a lot of Monday mornings is noticeable for sure.
Yeah, there was a video that went viral of a running robot the other day, and I saw somebody tag it and say, this is Kyle Pitts running a go route, like half speed, weird steps and all that. Are we going to be at a gas station again tonight, or are we going to the All-Star game? Are we going to be in the ballpark tonight?
We are going to be at home tonight. We will be,
We're so old and lame. It's okay. We talked about this earlier.
I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my daughter has an ear infection. Like, we're not, we can't be out at the ballpark till midnight. You know what I mean? Plus, also, our station, we're not the home of the Braves. We're the home of the Falcons and the Hawks. So the Braves only let us get so close to the stadium. They're pretty protective of their property. So we're kind of just over here looking. We're trying to get close, but we can't get too close.
I hope your kid gets better from the ear infection. That does suck. I will say, though, we can all agree, having kids is such a great out in any situation we don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, it's too late. I want to go.
I got kids. The kid thing is happening right now. Yeah, get out of here.
It's phenomenal. It's the best. Because I don't want to do anything anymore.
No.
If I could stay home every day, I would do that. But yeah, I use the kids constantly.
That's Andy Bunker, number one in Atlanta. Showtay. I felt a little bit better about that one. TBM 929 on Twitter, 929 the game.
I think there's a W in that shout.
One of the few good Huskies out there. I'll give him that. Bunker, have fun at home tonight. We'll be watching at home as well. Thanks as always. Continued success, and let's do this again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
There you go. Andy Bunker in Atlanta.
Boy, that lined up with our show today, all that.
Oh, it's perfect, dude. I would be the same way. Because that's what time does the game start tonight? 5 o'clock our time? Probably 5:15, 5:20.
5:30, yeah.
So you're looking at an 8:30 first pitch of the All-Star game?
Well, they got that humidity. Yeah,
dude, that's late. Well, it's the East Coast thing, right? Night. Like, that's when sports start on the East Coast. That's so late.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how people do it.
8:30, you're probably getting out of the ballpark at midnight at best, taking however long it takes. That's kind of out of the beaten path, too. Like, it's not right in downtown. It's like 20, 30 minutes away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So depending on where you're living, you've probably gotten a decent drive to get home. Dude, no, I'm with him on that. That's way too late of a night. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops, Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer, and experience your hops differently. Don't forget, we got the mail sack coming up at 8:15. So get your questions into the fan text line. To do so, you just send in a text to 503-864-6326. We were talking a little Penix here. Let's stick in the NFL. There's like a couple of NFL nuggies I want to get to. Coming up next, we'll do that on 1080 The Fam. We got jams today. A little photograph earlier. Lay down your guns against the Tigers.
He still hasn't been pardoned.
No, he's still
begging. I don't think he's going to get pardoned.
He's begging for it, but he won't give him
one. I thought everybody's getting pardoned.
Yeah, right, you get a pardon. Well, Joe Exotic.
The report was the Grizzlies donated, the USA Family Network, the weird people.
Yeah.
They donated millions of dollars to the campaign, and they got pardoned on their tax fraud.
I'm shocked that happened.
I don't think the Tiger King can afford.
No.
I think you got to pay a fee for that
pardon. I can't financially recover from this. I don't think he's got any money left, man.
His money's tied up in the Tigers.
His money is tied up in the Tigers. It's
maybe
not good.
If he donated a tiger to Mar-a-Lago or something.
Yeah, that show's not aged well. Not aged well in any way.
No, all those people are in prison, man.
Well, it's not just that. It's like, I actually feel shameful for diving in the way I did and watching that show.
You're not killing any tigers watching the show. You're fine.
It's not good.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. I'm going to get to one quick NFL nuggie here. Not a lot of time. Garrett Wilson, $130 million contract extension. What's the first thing that pops out in your mind?
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I got a weird thing on Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson's numbers easily suggest he should get this money.
He has been in the NFL for 3 years. He's gone over 1,000 yards every year of his career, four touchdowns, three touchdowns, seven last year.
Had a different quarterback thrown to him like every month.
Every month.
I would argue had crappy quarterbacks throwing to him his entire career in New York.
Yeah, it was Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and then whoever
Flacco's in there.
Flacco, yeah.
Flacco was in there, yeah. The weird thing about Garrett Wilson is, this is going to be the dumbest thing.
What do you got? Give it to me.
I don't put him in the Jefferson category, and do you know why?
Why?
Well, one, the Jets are
terrible. He's not as good as Justin Jefferson, for
right.
one.
Well, that's probably one of them. But like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, this category of elite receivers. First of all, good deal for the Jets. This is just good business.
Yeah, 4 years, 130 extension.
He's the fifth highest paid receiver. That sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
but I still don't put him in this category. It's his jersey.
The sleeves, the loose sleeves.
I don't like loose sleeve jerseys. I need you to, that needs to be tighter.
You want tight sleeves?
I don't like the loose sleeve jersey.
That's an homage back to the day of your boy Art Monk, Harold Carmichael.
Well, congratulations to Art Monk. He's getting his jersey number retired by Washington. He deserves it. He's been nothing but their Jerry Rice his whole life. But like, there is something about seeing him in a loose sleeve jersey that I'm like, you're just a little less.
I do this with golfers all the time.
It's like a DB not looking as clean cut as Dion.
Yeah.
And me going, eh, you don't look as good and put together.
Yeah, I do it with golfers. It's not that I don't think they're good. It's that I don't like them if they do something weird with their outfits. Like people who wear their sunglasses on the back of their hat, that bothers me and I immediately don't like you.
Like
and it's
sometimes
stupid and irrational, but
Jason Day with his Melba on, I'm like,
yeah.
That's not a good outfit.
You're wearing swim shorts on the course, dude.
My buddy just got into golf. He was wearing a Malbon sweatshirt.
Like
an old school 50s Letterman sweater vest.
With the buttons down the middle.
Yeah.
A little V-neck.
And I was like, oh, this is a choice.
Well, Garrett Wilson got a $130 million extension. He's been very productive. We'll see how it
what
works
do you think
out
about
with
the
Justin.
Deal?
I mean, I have the same reaction to you. I don't put him in that same category. I know he's been very good despite quarterback play. I think he's in that next tier of wide receivers. So for that, I think it's a good deal for both sides.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair.
He needs a quarterback. In his defense, he needs a quarterback, and we'll see if Justin Fields ends up being that. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Casey Holdall will start things off live in Vegas coming up here in a couple of minutes. The mail sack at 8:15. It's loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.